Good evening, everyone. I'm Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's More Success Team Legal Shield Monthly Business Solutions Conference Call. We do this call the first Monday of each month, and it's designed to assist our associates that are interested in working the B2B marketplace. Well, we had some very positive feedback from last week's Performance Club trip to Disney World in Atlanta and in Florida, and I want to congratulations to everyone that qualified for that trip. I know they had a great time. But now to introduce tonight's special guest speaker, I want to go to Ada, Oklahoma. She is a $250,000 income earner and a Millionaire Club member, and that is Miss Stephanie Moore. Stephanie, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you for that introduction. And I actually want to kick off the call with some special recognition. So I want to do a special congratulations to Deanne DeBell and Annika Marshall for being among the top producers in Legal Shield last week. And I'm proud to say that we consistently have representation on the corporate leaderboards, and I look forward to seeing your name as we start a new decade in our Legal Shield business. And another congratulations is to Brandon and Emily San Diego for being the newest Millionaire Club members for the More Success Team in Legal Shield. We also have a new ring earner for the More Success Team, and that is Mr. Persistency himself, our superstar, Mr. Harold Pinson. And you will hear from him on our networking team call tonight at 8 p.m. Central. But I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker tonight. I'm excited to do this introduction. She is our first speaker on our first Business Solutions call of 2020, so there's no better person to kick us off and get us started right. She is a $300,000 ring earner. She's a Millionaire Club member. She's led us in many corporate positions in Legal Shield, and her newest is the Senior Vice President of Small Business from Maryland. She's been one of my mentors and one of my very dear friends, and that is Ms. Melissa Wilder.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for the invite to come to the More Success Team Business Solutions call. I know many of you that have heard me on these calls, especially with this particular team. This team is very dear to me. I've always felt like Mr. Moore always embraced me as part of the family. And so I, anytime I get a chance to be able to be on these calls, I most definitely will. So thanks for the invite, Stephanie. It means a lot. It really does. So I'm going to share with you for the next 15, 20 minutes or so some of the things that I'm doing in my new role as Senior Network Vice President for Network Small Business. Now, I know that sounds a little strange, Network Small Business, but in all actuality, right now, Network is outproducing solutions on Small Business. And so one of the things that Mr. Don Thompson asked me to take charge of in 2020 is to help increase some awareness and some knowledge in regards to small business. And I know by doing that in my network position by default, I'm going to work with my family that's in the business solutions arena because many of you know that small business and small group is very dear and near to my heart and has been for 20 years with the company. And so part of that process, as I mentioned, is to help with the lack of product knowledge, the positioning of the product, not understanding really how to position the product in the right type of conversation. Because if we can really do well in selling the product without the knowledge or the understanding, wow, wait till we really get that into the associates' hands, into their minds, and most definitely into their hearts so they can take it into their communities. And also a lot of times business can be a chicken list for a lot of people, and helping with the training is going to be critical because we all know that training gives you knowledge. Knowledge will give you confidence, and most definitely confidence will give you the posture that's necessary to speak to business owners. And honestly, small business plans are the most valuable plans that we have to offer, yet still not completely sold to our capacity, right? And so I understand my tagline with small businesses, small business in our communities the small business that employ most of our friends and family in our community. They have big business problems, but family, they do not have big business resources. Our plans are designed to give big businesses, the small businesses, big business resources on a small business budget. That's really what it's about. It's leveling the playing field for our small businesses to operate and protect their business on a day-to-day basis, much like corporations or large businesses can afford to do, because a lot of times they have in-house counsel. Of course, they have deeper pockets to be able to do that. So I want to kind of have you think about that in your mind, because it's one of the things that you will be hearing us say. It's going to be a tagline on many of the marketing sheets that we are currently preparing. And so what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about some small business needs, and then talk a little bit about some of the prospecting and sales tips that I think are really important. First of all, we have a small business analysis sheet. We actually have a white paper, and if many of you are not aware of that, you need to look it up, but we do have the legal needs of small business, much like we have the legal needs of families, of American households. We do have one for small businesses. I want you to get it. I want you to be familiar with it. I want you to really be able to use that, particularly maybe in a conversation during prospecting, because a lot of times business owners, you know, maybe are just not thinking about the need, because unfortunately a lot of times they think what's logical is legal, and we all know the law is not logical, right? It's just legal. It doesn't have to make sense. It just is what it is. But I really want you to see that just for your own mindset of knowing how much small business need us. But I want you to really be careful also, because it can be a little tricky. I've seen a lot of associates that will go in and they'll look at like the top 10 issues, the top 10 legal issues that small businesses face. And they'll use that in their prospecting or engagement of conversation with small business owners. And I don't know how many of you here on the line have ever went out prospecting, but the minute that you give them an opportunity to throw an objection at you, they're going to do it to shut you down, because no one really likes sales, to be honest with you. And small business, man, they're probably, you know, busy operating that business. They're probably everything from maybe being the cashier all the way to actually managing the books, right? And so they have salespeople call them all day. They really don't want to hear no more sales pitches. So just kind of keep that in mind. But more importantly, when you're starting your conversation, do not kind of throw these top 10 issues that small business face down the small business owner's throat. Don't throw that up in the conversation, because here's what you're going to get. If you walk in and say, hey, listen, I'd like to talk to you about the top reasons why you as small business owner, or why you and other small business owners here in the community, you know, need legal help, and you start talking about contract review or debt collection or employee theft and tax audits, these are things that will show up on top reasons for small businesses to need legal help. What you're doing is you're identifying major legal issues. And when you identify major legal issues at the very beginning, you're giving them every excuse to say, hey, I already have an attorney. Because guess what, family? If it really is one of the top legal issues that they're facing, chances are they already are using an attorney for that issue. So I want you to kind of keep that in your mind. Maybe if you're having some challenges getting into businesses, or you're getting that objection, I already have an attorney, first and foremost, it might be because you're talking about things that they already are using attorneys for, because it's evident to them. But what's not evident to them are maybe the day-to-day consultations, the fact that they limit or prioritize their questions because they don't want to pay the hourly rate to be able to get those day-to-day questions answered, right? That's where we can actually start the conversation, because we're filling in a void of usage of an attorney in those particular situations. That's going to be some of the stuff that I really am going to train on as I travel the country, because one of my roles, as I mentioned, is going to be training for small business. And so we've developed a three-hour training that I'll be going across the United States and Canada and doing. So I hope you're understanding that, you know, if you're addressing the top major legal issues, chances are you're already giving them the excuse of, I already have an attorney. The other thing that I want to talk to you about in terms of already having an attorney, that could actually very well also just be an excuse. So when you're prospecting, okay, make sure that you use an objection as part of your upfront conversation. For instance, if I was going to walk into a small business, I would say to Stephanie, if she's the business owner, Stephanie, listen, as a business owner, I already know that you have access to qualified attorneys. That's probably how you handle your major legal issues, or when you're forced to use legal issues, you know, forced to use attorneys because of major legal issues. I get that. That's probably why you're still in business. But just because you have access to qualified attorneys doesn't mean that you use them freely. Is that correct? And I kind of pause and let her say yes, because that's the answer you're going to get, family, because they don't use them freely. I say, well, is it okay if I share with you a way where you can have access to qualified attorneys to be able to speak to them about your day-to-day operations, to be able to speak to them anytime you have a thought, question, or concern with your business, anytime that maybe you're hiring or firing employees or contracting independent contractors without worrying about the high hourly wage of an attorney or rate of an attorney. What we do is small business, we know, has big business problems, but they don't have big business resources. So what we do is we give small businesses like you, Stephanie, access to big business resources, to qualified law firms, to be able to operate your business and do so on your small business budget. Heck, Stephanie, if I could tell you or show you how we could help protect your business and give you access to a law firm to protect your business for less than probably a half an hour of a business attorney's time and have it for the entire month, would you be interested in just hearing me out, letting me just educate you on who we are and what we do? If you see value, Stephanie, I'd love to be able to serve you. If not, hey, at least I've made a new friend. Fair enough. So the positioning is, I know, I'm aware that you already have an attorney, but I'm also aware that you don't use it freely. I'm also aware that you can't afford to use it freely. So therefore, our programs are there to help you in that time of need, to help you not limit or prioritize your day-to-day operational questions, right? So I'm going to stop there for a second, Stephanie, and see if you have any questions for me before I go into just a little bit about prospecting and being intentional.
I don't have any personally. Do you want to open it up to a few questions, or do you want to move on and then see how we are at the end?
Whatever you feel like doing, honey. If you want to just stop there for a minute and take a few questions, I can do that, and then I can go into being intentional on your prospecting.
Okay. All right. Randy, if you'll just open it up and see if anyone has any questions to ask Melissa that. If everyone will make sure that you mute yourself out unless you want to ask a question, that would be helpful at this moment.
I'm going to open up the lines, but it's going to cause a lot of feedback, I'm afraid.
Okay. All right. Do you want to open it up to Harold Simpson and have him ask a question?
Yeah, let's just do it to some of the EDs like Jimmy Parrish and maybe Bob Pilcher and some of the ones that...
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, let's try that. Jimmy, did you have a question or comment for Melissa? I've got your line unmuted now.
Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm traveling. I had made sure I was muted out. Melissa, it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I just wanted to find out, and maybe I was late getting on the call because of another meeting I was in. Do you find it more successful for people that are primarily in the B2B space, or does it even matter if they lead with small business and, oh, by the way, we offer employee benefits, or vice versa? And then I'll mute myself out and let you answer.
You know, that's a really great question, Jimmy. And so working in solutions, you know, we all have kind of our niche and our groove. Some of us are more focused on group, and some of us are more focused on small business. But my experiences of being with the company 20 years is that sometimes we put ourselves into a box and limit our opportunities. So what I would suggest is if I'm walking into a business where I am highly aware, most definitely, that it's not a nonprofit, you always got to keep that in mind that we don't sell our small business plans to nonprofits. And, of course, we sell it to companies that are 100 employees or less, right? So in my prospecting, I try to prospect small business anyway. But my conversation would go something like this. Hi, my name is Melissa Wilder. I'm with a company called Legal Shield. I'm not sure if you're familiar with me or not, or our company or not, but I'm in the marketplace just educating business owners and decision makers on how we offer a voluntary employee benefit, but also can help protect and grow the small business. And my goal really here today is just to find out who makes decisions on behalf of this company in regards to either the employee benefits or potentially decisions of protecting the business. So what I try to do, Jimmy, is introduce them both up first, up front, because therefore, depending on the name I get, I'll say, oh, you know what, that's Stephanie, she's the business owner, perfect. I'd love to be able to set up some time to visit with her. Can I have her name and number so that I'd be able to call her back and see when it would be appropriate for me to come back in and maybe get 30 minutes of her time? Or if they said, hey, it's the HR director, same thing. In my mind, Jimmy, what I'm doing at that point is kind of assessing how I'm going to start the conversation with them. If it's a business owner, I personally do lead with a small business plan. If it's the HR director, I personally do lead with the employee benefit. That's just my preference. But one of the things I think that we do wrong, in my mind, is that we usually will go in and just talk about just small business, or we'll go in and we'll just talk about just employee benefits on the initial call. And then that kind of makes the conversation a little awkward when, let's say, I talk about employee benefits and they immediately cut me off and say, I'm not interested. And then I say, oh, wait, I got something else for you, right? So I like to try to get them both out there as much as I can, because we really can serve that entire small business, right? Grow the business as well as employees and their families. So, Jimmy, I hope that helps.
Oh, all right. I opened up about 15 or 20 more lines. Go ahead, Jimmy.
And one final question, and this really has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I have had, and I know we've got a tremendous marketplace of people under 100 employees, but knowing that the Small Business Administration considers a business small business if they're 500 or less, do you foresee at any time in the immediate future that we might expand the small business plan to something maybe in the 100 to 150 or 100 to 200 employee range? And I'll beat myself out.
Well, you know, Jimmy, I know this call is being recorded. So all I can say is I'm excited to have the charge of training and growing a small business. I've already had conversations about some things as a salesperson myself that I think can be tweaked or to be changed to enhance our opportunities. And most definitely that's something that's on the list of something that we've identified that potentially is holding us back from doing more. So I hope that helps enough for now.
I appreciate your response.
Thanks, bud. Happy New Year.
All right, Stephanie, I opened up about 15 more lines if anybody has a question or comment.
Yeah, I could take at least one more question, and then I'll move on for a minute, and then we'll ask more questions if we can at the end.
Hi, Stephanie. It's Bob Pilcher.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Melissa, my question real quick is, you know, we have, as Jimmy just alluded to, going bigger with the 10, the 50, and the 100 small biz plans. Do you see one size being more receptive to small business than the others? Sometimes, you know, as you know, we talk about bigger and stuff. I just wonder if, you know, as we get into the groups of 80 and 90 employees, sometimes those business owners are really more hesitant. And so it leads me to believe, because most of what I've done are usually under 50 or 10. So I just, yeah, my question, no, I guess, is which one would be, do you see as being more receptive to our plans?
Wow, that's a really great question. I think it really has to do with the way that we present the product to make them see the value. Because once again, the bigger they are, the chances are the more issues they've had, chances are the more times they've probably used the local attorney. And so it kind of goes back to my initial thing of, if we're identifying upfront the need for the things they're already using an attorney for, they're going to keep saying, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. We've got to be able to talk to them about the things that they're not freely using their attorney for. And so that's what I find in the larger small business category, you know, the ones that are, you know, over 80 employees, you know, over 75 to 80 employees, is that they have talked to the attorneys on a more frequent basis than the smaller business. And so I have to talk to them about the things that they're not using their attorney for, right? How many times, my whole thing with that type of company, how many times in the process of hiring or firing employees has your HR director ever thought, oh, my gosh, I really need to speak to a labor attorney first? Like, have you given your HR director the ability really to have a blank check to your business attorney? If you haven't, can I talk to you about a way where, in essence, you're not giving her really a blank check, but you are, for a very small monthly flat fee, giving her the ability to almost have that blank check, right? I'm identifying the pain points of their day-to-day operation. That's what's going to get them to say, aha. Tell them things like, listen, I already know you have access to qualified attorneys. That's probably why you're still in business, why you're operating a successful business. Any successful business owner in their right mind, of course, would have access to qualified attorneys. But we also know that you probably don't use them as freely as you should, because we know that every time they do, right, the minutes are adding up, therefore the charges are adding up. Can I share with you a way where you don't have to worry about that egg timer being turned over every time you call? Right? Those are the kind of things, Bob, that we need to get better at. Those are the kind of things that I'll be developing in this training, and really, I hope, be able to enhance our ability to have stronger conversations. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And I agree. You know, the larger the groups, the more need they have. It's just getting them to see the value of it, because the large groups don't want to take the time to call for the minor questions because they're going to be charged, but we can show value
exactly
with ours.
Exactly. And as I see it, and I tell them, and be very upfront with your prospects, or even your new small business clients, hey, listen, I'm not here to interfere with the relationship you have with your attorney. If you're happy with the attorney and you're getting a good rate with your attorney, you're getting great service with your current attorney, keep him, use him for the things you use him for. Use us for everything else. And what I find in that process, they start really realizing, well, wait a second, this is good. Now I might be able to actually use them a little bit more than I was using that other attorney. And it actually starts saving them money as opposed to costing them money. And when that happens, we've got them. They'll never leave us again, right? But if we start forcing the potential of, hey, get us and fire him, well, then potentially we're actually impeding on an existing relationship, and we don't want to go there because we didn't build that relationship yet, okay?
Very good. Thank you.
You bet. So for just the next few minutes, Stephanie, if it's okay, I want to talk about being intentional about just your day. If everybody here on the line would just take a few minutes, sometime tonight or tomorrow, I want you to write down every small business owner, every small business, rather, that you've walked into in the last week, in the last 2 weeks, in the last month, for instance. And ask yourself, did I intentionally, while I was there, do what I needed to do? Did I intentionally just say just a few more minutes of conversation while I was already doing life, right, whatever I was doing with that small business, and just introduce yourself? Introduce the fact that you, as a small business owner yourself in the community, go around and educate business owners on services that they may not be aware of, on services that potentially could bring value to that business to help protect and grow that business. And you would love to be able to set up an appointment to come back and visit with them so that you can educate them on who we are and what we do. I really want you to start thinking about this, family. You're going to be amazed at how many times we walk in and out of a business, because we're thinking about all the other things we got going on for the day or all the other potential prospects that we want to go get, we're failing to do our business while we're in the business. And so I'm asking you to be really intentional about your time, and I'm going to give you just a few examples about that, and then Stephanie, I'll go ahead and put that over to you. But Eddie and I was in a restaurant the other day. It's a Mexican restaurant here in Hagerstown. We had been to many restaurants looking for authentic Mexican food since our move from Texas to Maryland, and I think we found one. And with that being said, you know, when the waitress is waiting on us, you're always supposed to be courteous and ask people, you know, what's your name? How are you? And that's what we did with the waitress. Her name happened to be Missy. And I said, well, that's fantastic. That's my nickname. Just building a relationship. Why I'm already there, family. I'm not going anywhere, right? I'm going to wait for my food. As I started to build that relationship, what I noticed, number one, is she came back and waited on our table more frequently, refilled our chips and salsa, refilled our drinks, right? Because you're making somebody feel important and feel warm and building relationship. But at the end, after we finished eating, my next question to her was, hey, Missy, would you do me a favor? Would you let me know who's the owner or manager here? And she said, well, that's Carlos. And I said, well, perfect. I said, is Carlos available? And she kind of looked at me, and I said, I just want to, first of all, tell them how great the food is, but second, I really want to tell them how great the service is. Well, family, I have to tell you, when you tell a waitress that you're going to tell the owner or the management how great the service was, they're going to go get them, and that's exactly what happened. And Carlos himself wasn't there, but Agar, the manager, was there, and he came out, and he kind of looked, because he, as anything else, he's waiting for the negative, like we're going to give a complaint or something. And I just said, hey, Agar, my name is Melissa. It's my husband, Eddie. We're newer to the area. I want to let you know the food is amazing, but Missy is fantastic. You need to keep her. She's a wonderful staff member. And, you know, we also are business owners here in the community, and we pride ourselves on educating business owners on what we do, how we protect and grow small businesses in our community, because, after all, small business is the backbone of our community. All we want to do is just get a few minutes of your time or Carlos's time just to educate you on who we are, what we do. And if you see value, we'd love to serve you. If not, hey, at least we've made new friends. Fair enough. And, family, I can't tell you, just a few more sentences of conversation while I'm already there. And he said, sure. He said, why don't you just call me next week? It's being intentional while we're there. The other thing is, think about this. How many businesses do you enjoy going to the business? I enjoyed that food at that restaurant. If I don't share with them who we are and what we do, shame on me. Shame on me, family, because this could be a small business that if they make one bad decision, they could be out of business. And if I didn't at least share with them who we are and what we did, because I could have helped them, I might have been able to prevent what happened, that is my fault. And so I kind of put that on my heart and on my conscience. It's a little heavy, I get it. But understand this, I also can use that in my conversation. And I've done this for years. My dry cleaner in El Paso, Texas, is exactly what I did with him when I really first started, not worrying about my chicken list, because that's what he was to me, was my chicken list. And finally, I went in one day and I just said, hey, you know, Jose, I really enjoy being one of your clients. And of course, you know, they love compliments. Thank you very much, Melissa. We appreciate you being one of our customers. And I said, but you know, also, Jose, I was thinking on my way in here, shame on me. I haven't asked you for 15 or 20 minutes of time just to educate you on how I actually work with small businesses just like yours. And if something happened to your business, and I could have helped, but I kept this to myself, shame on me. So when can I get 15 or 20 minutes of time just so I can educate you on who we are and what we do? And if you see value, I'd love to serve you. If not, Jose, we'll still part friends. Fair enough? And please also understand, you're helping me get this off my conscience. And what did he say? He said, well, Melissa, of course. He said, yes, of course, you come in here and share this with me. I'd love to hear what you do. I'd love to see what you're doing to help other small business owners. But I also want to help you get this off your conscience, right? So he played along with me. But understand that it's not always about scripts. It's also just about having conversations with people. So I'm going to stop there, Stephanie, and if you have any questions for me, I'd love to answer them. I know I'm out of time. It's already 7:30, so I apologize for that. But I'm excited to be in this position. I'm excited to see where we can take this. And if any of you ever have any suggestions for me, comments for me, please make sure you reach out to me. My email address hasn't changed. It's still Melissa Wilder at Legal Shield Corp. Or, of course, I'm still on Facebook. I'm here to take any comments, feedback, suggestions, questions that you all have. Stephanie?
Well, thank you, Melissa, so much. They couldn't have picked a better person to help us in this area. We think you are fantastic, and we want to keep you. Thank you for pouring into our team and answering our questions. I know you were extremely busy, but having you kick us off for the new year is amazing. So, again, thank you, and we appreciate you and everything that you do for us in Legal Shield.
Thank you, sweetheart. And thanks to all the family members here on the More Success team. Appreciate everything that you all do, and I appreciate you allowing me to be part of your family.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I want to remind everyone of the networking team call in 30 minutes with our CEO, Mr. Jeff Bell. So please make sure you dial in early to announce your name, city, and state, and make sure your team plugs in to hear from Mr. Bell on how to start the year off right, being core, and importance of being in Dallas. And as we always say, remember, faith, family, and Legal Shield, and I will see you in 30 minutes. God bless.